Thinking your chronic back pain was caused by an old sports injury? You could be painfully wrong. It might be an inflammatory condition called ankylosing spondylitis, or AS. Stay tuned because later in the show, we'll tell you more. This message is brought to you by AbbVie.
Welcome to the Roughing the Passer podcast. We're clacking our way into week five. Week four ended. Vikings Giants. Monday night, Will Brinson, Pete Prisco. It's a Tuesday edition. You can subscribe via iTunes. You can follow Pete on Twitter at PriscoCBS. You can follow me at Will Brinson. Pete, you're probably on Snapchat too. I don't know what your username is.
No, I'm not.
Snapchat's real dangerous. It's fun though. You can put little emojis on all your pictures. If I were a Giants fan, I would put a Odell Beckham picture up with a frowny emoji because I think they're probably mad at him. If I was a Vikings fan, I'd put a picture of Mike Zimmer up. It'd be a big halo around his head because he is an angel sent from heaven. Mike Zimmer has gotten this defense rolling. I just wrote up something looking at the statistics of what Zimmer has done. He is basically the Vikings defense through 4 weeks have taken Marcus Mariota and Aaron Rodgers and Cam Newton and Eli Manning. That's a Heisman Trophy, a two-time, three MVP awards and multiple, I think three Super Bowl MVP awards, and has turned them statistically into 2013 Geno Smith. Pretty good.
Well, I mean, in what way?
if you add up all the interceptions and the touchdowns and the completion percentage of those four guys, and then you multiply it by four, extrapolate it over 16 games. It's like basically Geno Smith from 2013 with more passing yards.
So who's having all the problems?
Well, they're all having the problems.
I mean, who's having the major issues? I want to hear what you think.
What do you mean? Who's having the major issues? Which quarterbacks?
Yeah.
Well, Cam Newton got sacked. I think it differs from each person. I mean, I think what the Vikings are doing is, for instance, against the Giants, the Giants were like, we're not going to let you sack Eli Manning. And so they tried to get the ball out quickly and they didn't take any deep shots. And the Vikings limited their ability to pass to Odell Beckham because Xavier Rhodes is awesome. And Linville Joseph gobbled up the run game.
See, I think when you look at what they've done, pressure.
Yeah.
Because they're getting pressure from their ends.
Yep.
You know, that's something Carolina doesn't get. They're getting pressure from their ends. And then they can play so many different things in the secondary because Harrison Smith is so versatile and Xavier Rhodes can play a lot of man, and so can Trey Waynes, and so can Terrence Newman.
What I'm saying is that
their linebackers are fast. You know, it's almost like
Seattle-like a little bit.
They're good at every level. And then, I mean, Linville Joseph, Daniel Hunter, and Everson Griffin are destroying people on the defensive line. But I guess what I'm saying is that the Panthers had a plan to try and max protect, to take some shots down the field, and they still got eight sacks against Cam Newton because they're just beating guys. They're beating guys that way. And then Aaron Rodgers, they're trying to disguise coverages and make him hold the ball a little bit longer, and he didn't take many shots down the field. And Marcus Mariota, obviously the lesser of those four quarterbacks. And who knows what's going on with his funky system with Mike Mularkey, but they snuffed him out. And now coming up, they got Brian Hoyer, Carson Wentz, and Brock Osweiler. I mean, it's not going to get any better.
I thought they would make the playoffs no matter who played quarterback. I could say that. I picked them to make the postseason.
I think you and I argued a bunch about Adrian Peterson and Sam Bradford and Teddy Bridgewater and Jerick McKinnon and whatever. I don't think it really matters. I mean, this defense is that good.
It matters that they have Sam Bradford. He's playing good football.
Sam Bradford is playing. I could not agree with you more. Sam Bradford's playing great football. You also saw, I thought, really impressive. I think Norv Turner's starting to get the most out of guys like a guy like Kyle Rudolph.
He's tied for the league lead in third down receptions.
Good stat, Pete. Yeah. Stephon Diggs playing really well. Didn't have a great night on Monday night, but that's okay.
And North Turner's a good offensive play call. He wants to drive the ball, play action down the field. And Bradford's playing good, really good football.
Yes,
he is. I've always defended Sam Bradford more than most, I'll be honest.
Look, this is the most, I mean, we're getting ahead of a little bit ahead of ourselves by proclaiming Sam Bradford has finally arrived. But, I mean, this is the best system he's ever played in with probably the best coordinator he's ever played for and certainly the best weapons he's ever had, right? I mean, it's not unreasonable for him to have a breakout year because of this trade to Minnesota.
Yeah, no, a concern moving forward, and is the offensive line. But T.J. Clemens, I haven't watched his tape from last night, but last week he was really good at left tackle.
He let some pressure in on Bradford last night, but it's not like Matt Khalil was any good either.
You can't really tell until you see the tape, though, because you never know if the back was supposed to come over and help or whatever. But I thought last week he was really good against Carolina. And now Carolina can't rush the passer.
No, they stink against rushing the passer.
And that's an issue. If you want to transition to a team that supposedly has a good defense and it doesn't, it's Carolina.
Well, we can get to the Panthers in a second because we'll talk about some.
Oh yeah, let's get to the Odell.
Yeah. I saw a hot take on Twitter, Pete. I can't remember who it was, but it was basically something like. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Hold on. Here we go. I don't even know. I'm not trying to like blast this guy. I don't know who he is. But he's Jason Smith.
Yeah, I saw it. The record with him.
In the offseason, Giants will take a long look at Odell Beckham. And realize they may be better off without him. New York Giants just 12-19 with him. I mean, that is the hottest, dumbest take on the planet.
Right. I mean, Odell Beckham can't block. I mean?
Their offensive line's not good.
I'll say this about Beckham, though. Just go play. I mean, everybody's trying to get in your head and you're letting him. I mean, Xavier Rhodes, and I know this because I've talked to Xavier Rhodes about, if he says anything on the field or talks or doesn't. Mm-hmm. And I talked to his teammates about him. Xavier Rhodes might be one of the quietest players in the National Football League, but something about Odell Beckham brings out the worst in guys.
Well,
and so he needs to leave it alone. Just play.
Do you remember when you and I played golf and I ended up throwing a temper tantrum at the end because you got in my head?
Yeah.
Right. That's what people are doing to Odell Beckham. Like, they're just, it's the book. Like, the next time you and I play golf, if I'm playing well, you're going to, and we're playing against each other, even though we were playing on the same team at this time, you're going to get in my head. You're going to, you know what I'm saying? The book is out there.
We weren't on the same team. We were playing individual scores. We just were going to team up our scores. But you were.
I made one comment about you shooting your age at the turn. He just turned on me.
So you were taunting me at the turn. And then you got like the hole number 12. You got like a 14 or something. You picked up your ball and you quit.
Who knows really what happened?
Beckham, you're a quitter. You don't want to play. He has no touchdowns. Think about that. None. Zero.
Now, I will note that. I think it was Adam Harstead pointed out that he has very similar stats to last year. Like the touchdowns are obviously a problem, but OBJ threw four games in 2015, 24 catches, 307 yards, two touchdowns. OBJ threw four games this year, 22 catches, 303 yards, zero touchdowns. Touchdowns are important, but I mean, if you look at it, like Odell Beckham's not that far off his pace from last year. The problem is, I do think it. I mean, look, cornerbacks know they can get this guy flustered, and he's starting to develop this reputation as a guy who doesn't hold on to the ball all the time, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, they also got to start getting more from the other guys too. I mean, let's be honest about it. If because teams are rolling coverage over to Beckham too, he's getting manned up, they're getting the safety over the top, and Cruz is not Cruz, and the kid's still a rookie, so they. Eventually, those guys started making plays, and they can loosen up the coverage from Beckham. But, look, Beckham was open last week against Norman. He beat Norman a bunch. The ball didn't come to him all the time.
Yeah.
So they got to start feeding him the ball. When I have a player like that, I feed him the ball. Get him the ball no matter what.
Do you think that we have learned – so the Giants for 2 weeks looked like they had really kind of developed this defense and looked like a team that was – what's your concern level for the Giants based on – Monday night and what their offense was unable to, two straight weeks with a loss, what their offense was unable to do against the Vikings and how that offensive line looks.
Well, I mean, I think it's a combination of the two. I mean, now they got to play the Packers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a short term. Think about this for the Giants this week. And I hate back-to-back road games, but they play a Monday nighter. Now have to go on the road to face a team that's coming off a bye. At their place, that's brutal scheduling for the Giants. They got the short end of that one. That's not fair, almost. They got to score. They're gonna have to. The Packers are gonna score there, so you got to score yours. Go score. The other thing was with the Giants, their defense was banged up in the secondary, and that showed up. But they paid a boatload of money to get that, and those guys were on the field last night. You got to go make plays defensively. The first two games they were really good on defense. I actually broke them down and watched them and said, oh boy, this could be a special defense. And now they've had some injuries. They've kind of tailed off a little bit.
Yeah, and if that defense tails off, And the running game is okay. I mean, Bobby Rainey, Orleans, Darqua, you know, you don't have a real feature back there. I don't know. The Giants, red flags of the Giants, but you're right. Look, you got to go.
They need to let Paul Perkins play more.
Yeah, he looked good in that screen pass. That was the longest play of the night.
That's what he can do. He should be playing a lot more.
Yeah, I agree. I think they get there at some point in the midseason. Football is back. SeatGeek, the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the games you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like being in the stadium for the biggest plays of the year. And with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the seats you want for a great value. SeatGeek has the best deals on every ticket in the house. Wherever you want to sit, whether it's the 50-yard line, the club seats, or the upper level, we appreciate SeatGeek being a sponsor. You know, if like right now, Pete, I'm trying to, you know, maybe you're looking at a Saturday game. Want to go see NC State play Notre Dame? I know you were kind of itching to see that game, North Carolina, Virginia Tech, and you're thinking, I can't get tickets for that. But wait, there's a hurricane coming. You can go on and get tickets now. And if you do go get tickets now and you try to sneak in that market where people are trying to dump these tickets, you can get a $20 rebate. We'll give you $20 from SeatGeek, courtesy of myself and Pete. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, and click add a promo code. Enter the promo code PASSER, PASSER, all caps. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you make.
You can probably get an Arizona State ticket for about $5 nowadays.
Yeah, that's right. You can. That means you would actually make $15.
Yeah.
SeatGeek sends you $20.
Yeah.
After you made your first ticket purchase, download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code PASSER today. Is Arizona State that bad?
No, they were undefeated last week and went to USC and got trounced. They were the worst 4-0 team in history.
Wow, USC's not good either.
No, ASU stinks.
Yeah, wow, that stinks. Sorry for that. I know you had a
season's over now, you know. So once you lose once in college football, it's all exhibition games after that.
That's not true because Louisville lost to Clemson. If Louisville wins out, they're probably going to get in the playoff.
What if there's four undefeated teams? What if Clemson?
Well, Louisville has to play Houston, so there probably won't be because Ohio State and Michigan have to play. Let's assume Alabama gets out and Clemson wins the ACC. Alabama wins the SEC because those are two undefeated teams. Only one of Ohio State and Michigan can be there, and then Louisville would have to beat Houston to get into the. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, you're right. So they have to play each other.
Yeah, so like that's the thing. They win out. Washington could spoil it.
Yeah, Washington. If Washington's undefeated, then Louisville's not going to get in.
No, Alabama, Ohio State. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Clemson and Washington.
Yeah.
Don't forget, Miami's undefeated, too.
Yeah, you're right. Interesting. I'm not sure if Louisville has to play Miami.
When Georgia lost for the second time the other day on the Hail Mary, I sent out a tweet saying, welcome to exhibition season, Georgia, because that's basically what it is now.
Yeah, it's going to be weird for Georgia fans when Mark Richt is sitting there in the playoff and Georgia and Kirby Smart are not there.
That's and awesome. Florida State, too. They're in the exhibition season now, too.
Florida State's terrible. They got they're bad. All right, moving on to more pro football. Unless you want to talk college. We can talk college.
No, I love college football. But let's talk some more NFL. Let's talk about
Some quarterbacks. We do that every week. Matt Ryan, is he your – we're a quarter way through the season. Who's your MVP right now?
Matt Ryan is.
Easy choice.
Who else could it be?
Dak Prescott, Carson Wentz.
Stop it. No. Matt Ryan's putting up ungodly. I mean, he's on pace to throw for over, 5,700 yards or whatever, and 44 touchdown passes. He's averaging 10 yards per pass play.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Julio Jones, how about if you're Marvin Jones? Marvin Jones is averaging 21 yards a catch, and not leading the league. Julio Jones is at 22.
That is insane. It's a big play offense right now. Matt Ryan's completing 72.1% of his passes, 11 touchdowns. A
couple things have happened, okay? First and foremost.
368 yards per passing yards per game.
A couple things have happened. Kyle Shanahan has realized that Matt Ryan's better in the pocket, and he's catered his offense. Give Kyle Shanahan credit because I ripped them all last year, but he's catered his offense to Matt Ryan, which he had to do. Two, they got Alex Mack. And while Alex Mack isn't the same center he used to be a couple years ago, he's still really good, and he allows Matt Ryan protection in the middle. And that's been a problem for him his entire career in Atlanta. They've always had small, littlest, like guys like Joe Hawley, those smaller centers, and they've gotten handled in the middle, and there's always been pressure around his legs. Well, Mack is giving him a pocket, a clean pocket. He's doing a nice job of being able to step up. And three, I, you know, Sanu's not a great player, and he's been dinged up a little bit, but getting a, another, because Roddy White had slowed down, he couldn't run anymore, getting another weapon involved in the offense, and then you have all those backs, and I'm going to, you know, I ripped Kyle Shanahan a year ago on a regular basis. I'm going to give him a little bit of props here, because I think he's been smart enough to adjust to what he has rather than trying to fit Matt Ryan into what he wants to do.
And it helps too. You know, we talked to Matt Ryan on this very podcast, and he was pointing out that, you know, second year in that system is a big plus for him. I mean, he'd basically been in the same system his entire career. And then last year is kind of a, you know, it's a shock. I don't think people factor that in enough. You know, when you talk about a guy,
the best thing about that thing last year though is, and I've written this and said it a bunch, but it's relevant now. Matt Ryan taped his ankles in practice for the first time in his career because they ran so many bootlegs last year in practice.
Are you serious? That's not good.
I mean, that's just stupid.
Right.
Why would you do that? Why would you have him moving? He's a great pocket passer when he's got the – and again, I go back to Alex Mack. He gives the ability to step up and make plays. And, you know, they're a little underrated on that offensive line. It's not – you know, they've been better, and that's helped them too. So, look, they're going to put up numbers. It'll be interesting this week now, Brinson. Come on, they go to Denver.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a big boy game now. You got the highest scoring offense in the league going against – the team that can rush the passer better than anybody. That's an interesting dynamic there.
Who's the better defense, Denver or Minnesota right now?
Well, Minnesota's stats are better.
No, who, if you had to take one defense against, you need the defense to win one game.
Well, Minnesota doesn't have Von Miller. I mean,
he's playing out of his mind.
And Minnesota's corners, I don't think, are as good as the corners in Denver.
Is Xavier Rhodes a top 10 cornerback right now?
No. Denver doesn't have – well, maybe he's close to it. Denver does – I thought he was going to be the breakout guy last year. In fact, I wrote that last year when I went up there and talked to him, but it didn't work out that way. Denver's got better in Chris Harrison to leave. Denver has Von Miller. But Denver has more than those guys because Shane Ray's become a pretty good pass rusher now too.
Derek Wolfe.
Shaq Barrett has become a decent pass rusher as well. They don't even have Ware. So,
yeah.
But Anthony Barr and Kendricks give them speed at linebacker, and I don't think Denver, you know, Linville Joseph's a beast on the inside. So, I, you know what? It's tough. And then you go to Seattle. You know what's happening in Seattle with their defense is the other corner's playing really well. Sheed, or however you say his name, because they say it so many different ways. He's playing really well. So now you got him and Sherman and Chancellor and Thomas. And, you know, I made Cam Chancellor the most overrated player in the league last year. Must have motivated him because he's playing some of his best football right now.
You mentioned something about that on Twitter at some point in time.
No, but Pete Carroll did meant to take a shot. Was that a shot at me Pete Carroll took the other day?
It might have been.
It was either me or Manish.
Oh, did Manish say that? Of course, Manish also said that the Jets would be in first place in the AFC East going into this week.
No, but because he wrote a column last week saying that Wilson is ordinary or not ordinary. That was my word, but I said, you know, because he said, whoever says these guys that say you can't throw from the pocket, da 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 da. Of course, it was one of those after his game. Where were they when he was thinking it up over the last couple games this year?
I mean, I'm going to guess that you were included in the group of people who don't like Russell Wilson.
No, I give him credit. I've always said he was good. I do think he's good. I just don't think he's great. And
he's great when he's got mobility. He's good when he doesn't.
He's got, you know what his completion percentage is on third down this year?
I do not.
45%.
That's low.
It's horrible. The only guy lower? Blake Bortles.
Ooh, Blake Bortles, your boy. They finally won one, though. I was going to ask you, Pete, who is your most disappointing team?
Arizona, by far and away.
Not Carolina?
No, Arizona. I saw flaws in Carolina. They concerned me a little bit.
They've also played the Broncos and the Vikings. That's two really good defenses.
But they also don't have great tackles. I said this yesterday.
They can't rush the passer. They can't stop Cam Newton from getting rushed.
The five-pronged approach to winning. It used to be a four-pronged approach to winning. It's a five-pronged approach now.
I didn't know you added a prong.
Yeah, it's quarterback. Wow. It's quarterback, and they have one. It's big play wide receiver, and they have one.
Mm-hmm.
It's pass rusher off the edge. They don't have one. It's elite cover corner, and they don't have one.
Right.
And it's left tackle, and they don't have one. So, you know, they got two of the five, but that ain't enough.
Well, they're not generating – you can't – I mean, they got away with it last year, generating pressure up the middle, and that's what kind of created the trickle-down effect. But the problem is now They're not getting any pass rush off the outside.
You know how many sacks those two guys have, Coney Ealy and Charles Johnson?
Zero.
None.
Yeah, the only two defensive ends that have sacks are Mario Addison and LeVar Edwards.
It's almost like
they got one each.
And we you know they're deep, and everybody's killing the secondary because the young players in the secondary. But I don't care if Norman was there or not.
Yeah. Norman wouldn't matter.
That defense is predicated on getting edge rush, and they aren't getting it. Coney Ealy's got to be. If you had to pick one of the first 4 weeks' biggest disappointments, Coney Ealy has to rank right up there as one of them.
Yeah, because the whole point is that you're going to get this pressure on the interior with the defensive tackles.
Right.
That's going to make life easier for the ends, which makes life easier for the linebackers, which makes life easier for the secondary.
After the Super Bowl, Will, he was going to be the bust-out performer of the season, and yep. He has nothing, zero. Yep. I mean, no sacks, no praise. He's not getting any praise. He's not winning.
Yeah. I wrote about this in the Sorting the Sunday Pile, man. This is the focus. The Panthers have no pass rush. If they don't have a pass rush, you're right. Look, if you don't have a pass rush, any secondary is going to get exposed. And if you don't have any secondary and you don't have any pass rush, you're going to get torched for 300 yards. And that's what the Falcons did. It was easy.
Back to my theory on building on the edges. They're good with the short Lutalili and Keekly in the middle, and Davis kind of runs around in the middle too. But I'd rather be good on the flanks.
Yeah.
I mean, as valuable as those guys are, and they're valuable, they're good players, you'd rather have premier edge rushers and premier corners. Denver's not great in the middle of their defense. They're great on the edges of it.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating. I don't think this has been mentioned enough, is that when Denver went to the Super Bowl with Peyton Manning and that high octane offense and just got thumped by Seattle, they basically came back and reinvented their defense in Seattle's image. Like this aggressive, physical, willing to push the lines defense.
Like cover three like Seattle does, though.
No, I know that, but I'm saying like if you look at like the way that they play, like remember when Seattle beat Denver that year, everybody was like, well, Seattle really pushes the line. Like they get away with all this stuff. It's like, yeah, but they're going to keep trying to get away with it until the refs flag them. And the same thing happens with Denver. And I think you see the similar thing with Minnesota. Like that's the whole defenses have to be good enough to push that line and to be aggressive enough and to try and get away with stuff. And that's what those teams are doing.
Yeah. Look, Denver's defense can cover and can rush. And if you can cover and rush, you're going to win.
Who's your defensive player of the year 4 weeks into the season?
See what he's saying. Seattle's defense can cover and rush. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Vikings defense can cover and rush. I mean, that's you can cover and rush, you're winning. You know, everybody always talks about stopping the run. And yeah, it's important, but cover and rush is far more important nowadays.
Yes. In this league, yes. Who's your defensive player 4 weeks in? You don't have to have an answer because I didn't ask you, but
Von Miller, maybe?
Yeah, Miller's been good. Darren Donald's been good. So anybody from Minnesota could get it.
Anthony Barr doesn't get the due he deserves, and I, you know, I wrote about him early in the season, and the reason he doesn't get the due he deserves is because he doesn't get sacks. He doesn't rush the passer like a lot of guys do. He's in that scheme. He's a run and chase cover linebacker, and their value there. But you know, when people look at who's this guy, who's that guy, they look at sacks. Anthony Barr will never get the due he ultimately deserves as a player on that defense.
Remember that one year where Justin Smith was popular without the sacks? That was fun. People should get more credit for that. Hey, should the Jets bench Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Yes.
Wow, for Geno Smith?
I was watching the tape. In fact, just as we were getting on, I was watching the tape from the Seattle game because I wanted to watch the Seattle defense, and Ryan Fitzpatrick stinks. Now,
how did he go from the guy who lit up the Buffalo Bills in 2 weeks ago to...
Because the Bills aren't any good.
That's fair. They just beat the Cardinals and the Patriots.
But that's what Fitzpatrick is. He's going to be really good and tease you one game and then awful two others. I mean, that's what you're going to get from them.
Can the Carolina Panthers win without Cam Newton, and can the Arizona Cardinals win without Carson Palmer?
Yes and yes. Carolina can win with Derek Anderson against Tampa. Now the opponents help here.
Yes.
And Arizona can win at San Francisco because of Blaine Gabbert. He's not very good either.
What is going on with this Cardinals team as a whole? I mean, did you pick them to win the Super Bowl?
No.
You had the Packers, that's right, sorry. But I mean, we both thought that the Cardinals would be very good and go very far. And
yes.
They look very bad.
And right now they're not playing very well. I mean, I think the right side of the offensive line has been a problem. The center's not very good. I've thought that all along. They drafted a rookie center. I think they need to play him more. You know, then they go to the defensive side of the ball. They've had busts in the secondary. They just haven't looked great in the secondary. I think, you know, they got to get Honey Badger back to playing the hybrid position. He's been playing more safety than anything, and it's just a bunch of different things. And you know, David Johnson's averaging like 5 yards to five something a carry. I think get him the ball more.
He's playing. He's the only bright spot. And John Brown actually played well against the Rams. Yeah, I think he had 140 yards or something like that. He had like 9 catches and 100 yards at half. He seems to be finally coming around, but Michael Floyd a little dinged up. Carson Palmer does not look, he's concussed obviously now, but is there something else the matter with him, Pete? Do you think he doesn't look the same.
No, but Arizona is 20th in rushing, 20th and 24th in rushing yards per attempt. So they don't run it well enough on defense, that's where they are. That's bad. You're supposed to be able to. They're better than that up front. They're 24th in sacks per pass play. That should be better. Then you go to the other side of the ball on offense. They're 22nd in sacks per pass play. So the quarterback's getting hit. I mean, there's just he's thrown picks. They're 29th in pass percentage intercept wise. They're off. It just doesn't seem right. And part of that is. They want to drive the ball. That's what Arians wants to do, and I'm all for that. And I agree that that's the way you play. But at some point, you got to look and see what's working right now, and that isn't working. Teams are taking it away. I think they have 2 pass plays of 40 yards or more this season, and one of them was a screen pass to David Johnson. So that's the identity they want. That's not what they're doing right now.
Yeah.
So they got to. They got to reevaluate that. I mean, it's something when you look at it and you go, boy, you have David Johnson in that backfield. You got to figure out a way to get him the ball more. And I'm not just saying line up and play power football, but get him the ball in terms of screen game and all that other stuff.
And swing passes anything, because once he gets the ball in his hands, he's like he moves like a dude who's a buck 75.
Yeah, that's the kind of player he is. And so I think they got to start figuring out how to get him the ball. I mean, he's averaging 4.7 per rush. 4.7 per rush, David Johnson. So get him the football.
Do you think who's your rookie of the year for?
People are going to think I'm crazy. People are going to think I'm crazy critiquing Bruce Arians, but that's the reality of it.
You know, I did this. I did a Madden sim before the season started. Did I mention that they had the Cardinals going 3-13 or something like that, and then Bruce Arians got fired? I don't think Bruce Arians would get fired if he went 0-16.
No, he's not getting fired.
Yeah. Who would be your offensive rookie of the year 4 weeks into the season?
Ezekiel Elliott.
Over Dak Prescott and Carson Wentz?
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. I mean, I think so too, but I mean, you could easily see how the quarterback would end up winning.
Yeah, I mean, the quarterback ultimately will end up getting the award, but Ezekiel Elliott for me is, particularly the last couple games, he's really picked it up.
Defensive
rookie of the year is Jalen Ramsey.
By the way, Ezekiel Elliott leads the league in rushing yards.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jalen Ramsey's been fantastic too. Smack talking Jalen Ramsey.
Oh, he's the real deal. That one. I mean, he had a hell of a game last week against T.Y. Hilton, and he's one of those guys that can, he's big, he's long, his arms are long as can be. Yeah. I said in camp, and this dates me because most people don't know who Mel Blount is, but I said he reminded me of Mel Blount back in the day.
That does date you, but that's a good reference. All right, we're gonna take a quick break for a little advertisement, and then we'll come back and play a game of Dead or Alive with some of these teams.
Hey, sports fans, if you're like me, you love a pickup basketball game or a round of golf with your friends. And maybe you thought an awkward jump shot or a few ugly swings were causing your chronic back pain. Truth is, you could be painfully wrong. Because if your back pain started before age 40 and has lasted longer than 3 months, it could point to an inflammatory condition called ankylosing spondylitis, or AS. To learn if your symptoms could signal AS, take a short quiz at asbackpainquiz.com. Then, talk to your doctor. Find out if you could be painfully wrong. This message is brought to you by AbbVie.
Okay, Pete, so the obvious one to me, dead or alive, we're talking about teams, metaphorically dead or alive. The obvious one to me is the Colts, because they look... This is the softest team in football. Ryan Grigson and Chuck Pagano are going to survive this season?
Oh, boy. You gave him contract extensions. Are you going to blow him out?
I mean, Jim Irsay seems like the type of dude who would fire somebody after extending him.
I sent out a tweet today because I always like Tuesday to go through stats and look at stuff. And Andrew Luck has thrown 69 of his 166 passes in the fourth quarter with six touchdown passes. He leads the league in yards and touchdown passes in the fourth quarter. And people will say, well, he's getting garbage time stats. No, he's not. He brought those team. Each time he's brought his team back into those games. Remember, at Denver, they had the ball. And he threw a pick that made it, what, a 10-point game or whatever.
Akeem Talib took it to the house and it finished the game off.
Or no, it was a fumble. He had a fumble late in that game. Remember when it was picked up, scoop and sack?
That's right.
Yeah, so he got him. They had the ball with a chance to win in the fourth quarter. At San Diego, he did win against them in the fourth quarter. Against the Lions, he drove them down to take the lead in the fourth quarter. And last week against Jacksonville, he got him back in the game in the fourth quarter. They need to play fast and up-tempo and let him be – loose. He's thrown, what was it, 16 passes with the lead this season. 16.
That's it. That's a pretty good stat, too. You should tweet these stats out.
I did.
Okay, cool.
You don't pay attention.
It's October and November. I keep Twitter kind of
16 memorized. With the lead. I mean, that just tells you that their philosophy, and Pagano won't go to up tempo. I mean, you know, his thing is, well, you're going to keep the defense on the field. Go score points. Then worry about the defense. Go score points. They're not dead because the division stinks.
Are the Cardinals dead or alive?
They're alive because they'll find a way to beat San Francisco. Then, you know, the schedule. And I forget. I looked at the schedule the other day. It's not brutal. They got Seattle in a couple of weeks, so they get it at home, I think. Yeah, they got a chance to get back into it.
But obviously have to win on Thursday against San Francisco.
Yeah, then what's it at? Do you have it in front of you? I mean, it's San Francisco Thursday night. Then you have 10 days off, so they get your quarter. You should get your quarterback back.
Right.
And then I think it's a winnable game, and then Seattle, I think.
I'll have it in a second. Hold on. You get the 49ers at the 49ers on Thursday, 11 days or 10 days before the Jets. Then you get the Seahawks at home. Then you're at the Panthers. Then you have a bye. Eesh. Then the 49ers. Then at the Vikings. Then at the Falcons.
Yeah, it's not an easy schedule. They're gonna have to pick it up.
If they go 2-2, or no, they should go 3-1. You got to beat the Seahawks at home. You go three, or if you beat the Seahawks at home or the Panthers on the road, and you're 3-1, you know, then all of a sudden you're back to 4-4, and you can kind of rip off some wins. You try to steal one against the Vikings. You got to be. You know, I mean, it's not an easy schedule. It's not an easy schedule.
No, but you know, they have talent. They need to get it going.
That's right. Are the Panthers dead or alive?
Bad division, alive.
Right. Chargers dead or alive.
That's your big pick there, and they're not.
They've had a 13-point or more lead in the fourth quarter twice and lost this year.
They had the lead in that game too.
I know. Every other NFL team is 25-0 with a 13-point lead in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I saw that stat. And fumbled six with three times in the last, or lost the ball three times in the last 6.5 minutes the other day against the Saints.
Yeah, I mean, just
Saints going 4-1 in the Super Contest.
Yeah. Oh, really? Did you go 3-2?
Yeah. It cost us, by the way, if you want to remind them, went 1-4.
I think I went 1-4 against my picks too. I still think the Chargers can get back in it.
They better win against the Raiders this week.
Yep. I almost wonder if they lose this week if they don't fire Mike McCoy and elevate Kim Wisenhunt. I know Kim Wisenhunt's record stinks, but you got somebody on staff who's a.
What does that solve, though?
Oh, nothing. I mean, nothing at all, really.
Nothing. I mean, I wouldn't do that.
No, I'm just saying it wouldn't be surprising if they did it. Dead or alive, the Miami Dolphins.
Dead.
Bad Thursday night showing.
They're not good.
They're not good.
That team, that roster needs an overhaul.
Do you worry about Adam? I mean, should Adam Gase be worried at all? If they just
no, he's going to get Tannenbaum. They'll get Tannenbaum the hell out of there, and then he can start building the. Bobby Greer's got talent to build a roster. Okay. Get Tannenbaum the hell out of there.
And finally, the Titans, dead or alive?
Oh, dead. And coach is dead too. He's firing special teams coach. How about looking in the mirror, dude?
Yeah. They need to do the same thing the Colts. You're talking about the Colts is play up tempo offense. Let Mariota throw it around.
Yeah. And then they put him in obvious passing situations and it becomes a problem.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
He looks like he's regressing. It stinks. It stinks because they're not, I mean, they might be ruining him. They might be ruining
Mike malarkey would take a combination of Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Dan Marino, John Elway, and any other great quarterback in the prime and turn him into a handoff machine.
That is so depressing. All right. This is the Roughing the Passer podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes. Did we miss anything this week? Sorry, I can't even tell if you can tell or people can tell. I'm sick this week. It's not very fun.
Oh, wah.
Yeah, you talk about you being
play sick. Hurt.
I am. I'm playing through. Fight through.
You gotta play hurt. Shoot it up and get on the field. That's what I would tell. That's what I would tell any quarterback who's gonna lose his job.
I got a cortisone needle sticking out of my tuchus, as Al Michaels would say right now. All right, this is the Roughing the Passer podcast for Pete Prisco. I'm Will Brinson. Thanks for listening. We will talk to you guys soon.